Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Isaiah 44:2 says, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Psalms 44:24, thus saith the Lord my Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things. Isaiah 49:5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. Romans 9:20 says this, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Now, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe the word of God. We read the creation story. We read that God reached down, took the dust of the earth, and formed the very first man, Adam. Then God's lips touched man's lips and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You say, boy, Adam sure was lucky. God formed him with his own hands. Well, according to the Bible, every single one of us have been formed in our mother's womb by the very hands of God. The womb of a young mother ought to be the safest and most protected place on earth. You know why? Because God's busy there. God's hands are creating his handiwork. Not only creates him in the way that he wants them created, but the Bible says that a newborn baby is created for divine purposes. God does not just form the body of a newborn child. But did you hear what he said to Jeremiah? He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. That means every single one of us that God created, he created for divine purposes. Divine purposes. As I was driving riding along in the hearse from the funeral home to the cemetery, a young lady that has just recently started working for Todd down there, Welsh and Cornett, was the one that was in charge of that particular funeral and was driving the hearse out there. And I began to talk to her about what she does for a living. And she began to share with me that she very much viewed this job, we could call it a job or this occupation, as not something that she chose, but something that God called her to do. You know, I thought to myself, it would take a very special person to get up every single day and to work in that arena of life. And I don't only believe that about funeral directors, our dear doctor that's here. You know, I believe that ought to be a calling on somebody's life. You know what? People that are in the medical profession very much throughout all the years looked at it as a calling. I think there is a group of people that are entering into that and their main motivation is money, but I'm going to tell you something, they're never going to be very good at it if that's all they're there for. Yes, but that would be true of almost anything that you did in life. Right. And you know what? I want you to understand something. Nobody here, young people, listen to me, you're not an accident. You're not an uh-oh. And you know, God not only formed you in your mother's womb, but he formed you with a divine purpose. Something that he wants you to do and to accomplish with your life. Find the will of God and do it. God's will is not going to be the same for you as it is for me. And it's not going to be the same for you as it might be your mom and dad. But you're here for a reason. God made you. And God made you for a purpose and a reason. And listen, you don't want to get to the end of your life and lay on your deathbed and have this thought, as I heard a man look at me one time and say, I mean, within hours of dying, he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, preacher, he said, thank you for coming. Thank you for praying with me. He said, my biggest regret is I feel like I've lived my life and never discovered why God put me here. I'm going to tell you something. That was one of the most saddest moments I've ever experienced, to think that you would be born and live and then come to that time of death's door and not feel like that you found God's will and not accomplish what God put you on earth to accomplish. Don't waste a life, because that life is very precious. Let me say this, number four, a newborn baby comes with the greatest of all divine responsibilities. Let me speak to our parents for a moment here. A newborn baby, all of our children are lent to us by God. The Bible says they're the heritage of the Lord. Remember Hannah? I read you the story of how she prayed for a baby. Well, God answered her prayer. And she bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And she said, O my Lord, when she saw Eli, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by here praying unto the Lord. I love this little phrase here. For this child I prayed. For this child I prayed. Isn't that beautiful? And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. If we understand this, that even though God gives us children, he lends us those lives. And you know what, folks? They're not given to us to be raised for our good pleasure, but for God's good pleasure. We're going to have a baby dedication in just a moment. A baby dedication is really a parent dedication. Even though we call it a baby dedication, even though the child is involved, really a baby dedication is a parent dedication. A decision that parents make to rear your child, not for yourself, but for the Lord. Not for your purposes, but for God's will. Not for your pleasure, but for God's glory. I want to just say this. To rear a child away from God, away from church, away from the gospel, and without knowledge of the Bible, I think is the greatest crime a parent can commit against their child. To receive this precious and divine gift from God, then to keep that gift from God, it's a crime against heaven and a crime against earth. Certainly a crime against that child. It robs God of what is truly his and robs the child of God's will on earth and God's heaven after death. So a newborn baby comes with the greatest of all divine responsibilities. The Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The last thing I want to say is this. A newborn baby provides a beautiful picture of salvation through Jesus Christ. Newborn baby, every newborn baby needs to be born again. Amen. John chapter 3, Jesus is having a discussion with a Pharisee, a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus. He comes to him by night. He says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Listen what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This confused Nicodemus. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You know what? One of the things that Penny shared with me, or somebody shared with me, was that Rachel's water broke this morning just after midnight, and now we've got news of a new birth. Born of water and of the Spirit. What it's talking about there is the physical birth and then the spiritual birth. It says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, these are Jesus' words, folks. And so we understand that if Jesus is saying he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, if Jesus said, except a man be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God, then this thing of being born again is an absolute necessity if we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And interesting, in this same conversation, we find these very familiar words. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That was Jesus being lifted up on Calvary's cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Just as we rejoice in the birth of a new baby, and just a few weeks ago it was Judson Seth, and now we're rejoicing over Lydia Hope. We've got three more on the way here, folks. We've got three more in the church on the way here. And you know what? There'll be times of great rejoicing. Let me tell you what the Bible says. When a sinner comes to repentance, when somebody realizes they're lost in need of Jesus Christ, and they turn to Christ and they believe in their heart what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them, his death, his burial, his resurrection, dying for our sins so that we could be saved. And that person has a humble heart. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Salvation's not for the proud. You'll never get saved if you're proud. You'll never get saved if you're full of self-righteousness. Well, I'm good enough to get to heaven on my own. I don't need salvation. Well, you can't get saved with that attitude. It takes a person humbling themselves and realizing, you know what, I am a sinner. And you know what? Jesus Christ did die on the cross for my sins. My only hope for heaven rests in Jesus Christ and his finished work. There was a day that I walked into a Baptist church lost. Many times I walked into a Baptist church lost. Thank God there was a preacher that stood up and told me the truth. And I remember God taking all of those messages, those sermons, those truths, and finally it all came together one Sunday, and I realized that I was a sinner in need of Christ. I walked forward that day, knelt at an altar. Preacher showed me John 3:16 that I've already read to you and some other verses. And that day, I humbled my heart and just asked God for the gift of eternal life to be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That day I was saved. Let me just encourage you, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus would not lie. And if he said, except a man, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, then you have to ask your question. I have to ask myself this question. Have I been born again? Has there been a time that I've received Christ as my Savior? The primary prayer of new parents in regard to their child ought to be for them to be genuinely saved at the earliest possible age. Because not only do they need to be born, they need to be born again. The greatest gift a parent can give to a child is the opportunity to be reared by parents who are saved and dedicated to the Lord. And so maybe you haven't received Christ. Mom, Dad, would you today make the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to stand up and share these biblical principles. Thank you for the Word of God, what it teaches us. Thank you, Lord, that we can go to the Bible and find the truth. And so, Lord, thank you for the respect that you have, the love that you have, the concern you have for newborn babies. Thank you for the delight that they are to us, Lord, and in many ways a reminder, dear God, of our divine Creator and the miracle of birth. Lord, I do pray for those that may be here. Obviously, if they're here, they've been born once. The question of the morning is this: have they been born again? One birthday won't do it. Not get you to heaven. And I pray, Lord, that as we examine our hearts, each and every one of us individually, we would listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit. If there's somebody here that's never received Christ as Savior, today would be the day that they're saved, Lord. Speak to their hearts. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to encourage you. In just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation during that time. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'll simply walk up here and get my attention, I'll be more than happy to get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Best day of my life, best decision of my life was the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Preacher, I'm not even sure I'm understanding it all, but I do feel like God's speaking to my heart. I don't know what would happen if I was to die. I fear eternity. I don't know. I have no peace about it. I pray that you'd come today. That's simply God stirring your heart, working with you. We can take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that before you leave, you're on your way to heaven. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name.